We always think, when I have these certain things, then I'll do these certain things, and then I'll be happy. And it's really the reverse. Be happy, and then you'll do these things, and then you'll have those other things. They'll come down the road, if that's even important to you.
83% of Americans identify as not very happy, which can hold you back and negatively affect your relationships and your business. On this podcast, we discuss the proven steps to happiness so you can restore balance and rekindle your joy.
Hello, beautiful people, and welcome to another episode of How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs. Today, I've got a special guest. His name is Michael Soriano from the beautiful state of Florida. Michael, how are you today?
I am doing fantastic, and it is 80 degrees, so I'm feeling really good.
It looks like the sun is shining. I was down there this weekend and I was on Clearwater Beach and my daughter and I got a terrible sunburn because it was so windy. It wasn't that hot and we didn't put on sunblock. Always got to put on sunblock. I learned the hard way. So, Michael, we're going to jump right in. We're going to talk a lot about journaling on this podcast today. I want to ask you right off the bat, before going through the Accelerated Happiness Formula program with me, what was it that you struggled with?
So a lot of what I struggled with was procrastination. And I've gone through other coaching where I was kind of given tasks to do. And I would start off great, like a bat out of hell. And then after a while, something would die down. I couldn't figure it out. And so then my output and my work started becoming less and less. And then it came to the point where I felt very stuck. I couldn't really get going and motivated. Well, I got this initial charge from the coaching, and then eventually it would just die down, even though sometimes we were still doing coaching calls. I think the biggest thing working with you was that, and I don't know if you want to talk about it now, but when we were doing the coaching, you gave me a structure of what we were going to do. You laid everything out and you gave me a plan to follow afterwards. And it was telling me, here's the steps. And we built on each step, as opposed to reaching around for different pieces. And that really helped.
Yep. We'll hit that in a couple minutes. So you said some interesting things. You said that your issues before coming to work with me were being stuck and procrastination. And I know you and I talked about this. Procrastination really is the fear of failure, right?
Yeah.
And so what were you afraid of when you were fear of failure? Do you know what that fear of failure was from?
I think it was always that feeling of not feeling enough, and almost like you succeed and then you're almost a fraud in that success. You feel like a fraud. Even though you're actually doing the work, there's something deeper there that is unconscious. Well, you did these things, you accomplished these things, but it really wasn't you who accomplished them, right? It was almost like an imposter, a fraud. So I think that was the big thing.
There's only three problems with human beings that we encounter. And this is from my mentor, Marissa Peer: the feeling of not being enough, the feeling that I don't belong and therefore I can't connect. And the third possibility is that I can't get what I want and I'm never going to be able to get it, right? And right. So you had that unworthiness, which is the same thing as the not feeling enough, which I'm finding more and more is really the basis of most people's problems in this entire world. Mm-hmm. And so when you don't feel enough, does it really matter what you accomplish or how much money you have or who you're dating?
No. And I think the big thing is that you always have in your mind at that point, it's like, okay, when I reach this level, then I'm worthy. And then you reach that and you're like, oh, I'm still not worthy. Oh, wait, there's more. And there's more. There's always more when you're more than worthy wherever you're at in this point in time, right? But we get that in our heads that it's when I reach this certain milestone, or I'm dating this person, or I'm this weight, or I have this much money in my bank account. When you can just be those things today, you can be happy, right? With whatever weight you're at, whoever you're dating or not dating.
Right. So you found this out. You have all you need to be happy right now, right? So right. Roll back 60 days ago or 3 months ago when we started working together. Would you say your life has profoundly changed?
Absolutely. I think the big thing was I was really kind of stuck. And through our working together, you freed up some things in me. And we talked about it as a lot of purging, if you will, of these not enough feelings, right? Of not feeling enough. And it hasn't stopped me feeling happy since we started working together. And I've taken on other things that I'd done prior that I wasn't happy doing, that I'm now happy doing.
Tell us more about that. Can you give us an example?
Yeah, sure. Just even working out. I love working out and I'm not in the shape that I want to be currently, but I still am happy with where I'm at. Whereas before, it seemed like such a far goal. And it's amazing because I signed up for a coaching program for working out. But prior to that, it would be like, well, I have X amount of body fat to lose, right? And even if I lost, let's just say 1% of body fat this week, I'd still be like, oh man, I still have 5% to go. As opposed to now where I'm like, man, I just crushed it. I lost 1% body fat this week. I'm freaking moving in the right direction. I can't wait to see next week what's going to happen, right? Just that little flip of the switch has you feeling a lot better. And then it carries you into the next day, the next week, right? As opposed to, oh my God, this is so far away, right? But if I look at where I want to be, or if I start measuring myself against other people, it seems like such a far distance, right? But if I'm just okay with the actions that I'm taking now, then it's not far at all, right?
One of the big shifts, I mean, you've made a lot of big shifts in the 5 weeks we worked together. One of them is that you're now focusing on, instead of waking up every day and saying, here's what I didn't get done, or here's what's bad about Michael, you're just identifying all the great things that happened to you today, or the great things about Michael, right?
Absolutely. And I do that in the morning and the night where I'm labeling those things, writing them down, things that I'm grateful for. That was one of the biggest things, was journaling every single day. And that was one of the assignments that you gave me. Write down three things in the morning, three things in the evening. And then also in addition to that, what three things happened to you today? And at first it was a challenge. It was a struggle because it seemed like I was just writing down the same answers every single day. But the more opportunity you have to search for those good things, the easier it becomes. If you're looking for a specific car, right? You see it every single day once you have that car in your mind, right? Same thing. If you're looking for bad things, guess what? You're going to find bad things about yourself. If you're looking for those good things every single day, then you're going to find those good things. Things that I probably didn't think were quote unquote good or really that spectacular actually are. I just came back from the gym, had a great workout, hit a little bit of personal records there. Normally, I would just be like, no big deal, right? But I realized, man, I'm really pushing it. I feel good. I'm looking better. And I feel great about the workout. Even if I didn't hit those personal records, I would still feel great about going to the gym and doing my workout. I would find something within that, right?
Right.
I wasn't really feeling up to going to the gym today, but I still went and I put in the work. I wanted to go to the gym today, but if I didn't, yeah, it would still be, you know what? I completed my entire workout and that itself is awesome. Or I completed three quarters of my workout and I really didn't want to be at the gym. That's still something to be proud of.
Yeah. So that's a lack of procrastination. And procrastination is a fear of failure. And since you now know that you are enough, you pretty much cut the procrastination issue, right?
Yeah. Yeah. What procrastination issue?
Amazing. So I have on the screen, I asked you a couple minutes ago, and there was a point, we got a little sidetracked. I think I asked another question, but I have up on the screen right now, you have all you need to be happy now. Everyone listening to this has everything they need to be happy right now. So 2 months ago from today, you've made a profound shift in your life. Did you win the lottery? Did you get some new smoking hot girlfriend? Did you buy a new car? Did you get your dream job? Did you go on travels? Did any of that stuff happen to you?
No, but if I did win the lottery, I think I still owed some money there.
So
no, none of those things happened. No. It was just really looking at what I currently have and just being happy about it. And really, like I said, the big thing was just purging those feelings of being unworthy, right? Not being enough.
Yeah. So you don't have to wait to be happy. You can sit here and say, it doesn't matter what level you're at or what you have. You can always think, what do I not have? When I get this, I'm going to be happier. My mentor, Marissa, says she's worked with literally over 1,000 addicts. And she's like, I have not met one that thought they were enough. And when you're not enough, you just need more, more, more. But the truth is, right now, you're living in the truth and therefore you're not suffering. That's another one of my favorite sayings is you can't suffer if you're living the truth. You're living in the truth that you are enough. And therefore, you don't need anything from the outside to make us happy. I mean, I went through that same thing. Spent 47 years thinking that boats and cars, and if I can make a bunch of money, if my son can be a high-level golfer, all subconsciously, if I can get these things, I'm just going to be happy. And you and I are living proof, if you're listening to this, that you can choose to be happy right now, every day, for the rest of your life. Or you can wake up tomorrow and choose to be happy. You don't need that next thing. That next thing won't make you happy. And if you think that's the case, look at all the people who have fame and wealth, and they're depressed, and they're on drugs, and they're committing suicide. It doesn't work that way, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. It's funny because we always think, when I have these certain things, then I'll do these certain things, and then I'll be happy, right? And it's really the reverse. Be happy, right? And then you'll do these things, and then you'll have those other things. They'll come down the road, if that's even important to you, right?
Right.
If having X amount of dollars is important to you, or X amount of cars or nice cars, what have you, right? I think at the end of the day, though, and this is actually something that I took from one of my coaches, we're all looking for just a few simple things, and that's peace, love, and joy, right? And everything kind of falls under that. Those were the three things that he had talked about. And for me, I just kind of added on inspiration. That's my fourth thing that I love, right? And everything falls underneath that, right? If I have a great girlfriend and everything's going great, love in my life, I have peace, I have joy, inspiration maybe. So I think if we start looking at that, of just being happy, right? Peaceful, joy, love, all the other stuff will take care of itself.
So this feeling of unworthiness that led to procrastination and being stuck, before we met, did you know that you had that? Did you know you felt unworthy?
Yeah, I knew it was there. There were certain things that happened, and I'd gone through therapy, but that didn't really move me through. It was just talking about it and some coaching. The difference was when I worked with you, I had a lot of purging of that unworthiness. And a lot of that was going through our hypnosis session. Even though it's like you're making these suggestions, I'm giving the answers, right? And you're not telling me what to think, and you're not telling me how I should feel about these things. Those things came up organically for me during our session. And a lot of that, as I said, was purged, like those feelings. And each and every day, like a little bit more would kind of peel off. It was like an onion, you know, like all this bad layer. Memories were coming up. I don't know if I had told you that. Some of these things that had happened to me during my childhood were coming up, and I was like, okay, that's a feeling of unworthiness, but is that me? Was I not worthy? Or no, that's just a situation that happened. Yes, it's a fact that it happened, but it didn't mean that I wasn't unworthy. Not at all.
Right.
So that's a huge difference. And as I told you, I haven't stopped listening to our recordings. I listen to them in the morning and then at night. And you know, I kind of mix up the other ones that you had given me just to kind of get a little freshness there, a little spice. Yep. And that's really helped as well. But, oh, the other thing we didn't talk about was I was having a lot of problems sleeping prior. And I remember I'm like, yeah, I'm struggling to fall asleep. It would take me an hour, sometimes longer. And then you get into that bad habit of looking at your phone and then jumping on Instagram or something silly. More dopamine hit, right? And then I would stay up longer, and I'm like, maybe this will make me tired. I just plop in the recording, flip my phone on, that plays. More often than not, I'm falling asleep before the hypnosis session is over, before that recording is over. And then I'll wake up, and it's there. And it's funny because I'll pick up my phone, and I'll press the button. I'm like, it's in the middle. It's starting over the hypnosis recording.
So you had major sleep issues. I don't think you came to me to solve your sleep issues, did you? That wasn't the thing. But this is a byproduct of doing the work, right? Because almost every single problem that you have in your life comes down to your thinking. And so the way that you thought about yourself, which was flawed, and it was a flawed through no fault of your own. And in a second, I'm going to ask you if you'd be willing to share your trauma if you do great. So your thinking was flawed. Everyone's thinking is flawed to some degree, and that's what causes all of the problems. So when you're able to get your thinking right by reversing that programming from childhood, everything changes, including your health. So now you're in better shape. You're working out more. You're not missing workouts. You're sleeping better. So it's just a byproduct of doing the work. Yeah. So if you don't mind, can you share with us, what was your major trauma as a child?
Yes. Mine was, I had major abandonment issues. And I'm not feeling enough. I won't spend too long on it, but my parents were divorced when I was 5. And even before that, my dad is Filipino, my mother is German, and my mother's mother wasn't happy about that. And my parents actually eloped. And then they were married, got divorced when I was 5. So I didn't see my dad a lot. And obviously that was very difficult. Then I was raised also by my mother and like her best friend and always surrounded by women. So no dad in my life. My grandfather was in my life, but he died when I was 6 years old. And I was close with him on my mother's side. And when he left, it was kind of like, oh boy, there's no other male role model in my life, really. And then when I was 7, my dad died. And that was huge. Even before that, I would see him, I believe, like every 2 weeks. And I remember I would always be crying when I was going back to my mother. Had nothing to do with my mother. It's just that I missed my dad. But yeah, it felt that abandonment. Like, why is he leaving? When my dad died, it was very difficult for my mother. Single mother back then, as a nurse, not making a lot of money, trying to raise 2 kids, trying to do the best that she could. But she didn't know how to show us love. And I would say that she had a lot of anger at that point. Here's her husband or her ex-husband who kind of abandoned her, right? And now you're raising 2 kids where she wasn't making a lot of money. My dad was a doctor, but back then they didn't make a whole lot of money. So it felt like abandonment from her as well. And I found out when I was 14 that my dad actually had committed suicide. My sister had told me because she stumbled upon the death certificate. And that was like almost like he died all over again. Because I didn't know from 7 to 14, I hadn't known that he died of suicide. I'm going to stop using the word committed because that's actually something like criminalized, and that's not what that is. So when he did die at 7, I was very, very lost. You know, I was gifted and talented program, and I actually stepped out of that because I was just so sad. And it was like compounded like every day of not having him there, and especially spending time with other people who did have their dads, right? Why did my dad abandon me? At the time, we were told that he had a heart attack. My mother felt it was just too hard for us, which it probably would have been very, very, I think it would have been worse for my sister had we known the truth. And it was still hard finding out at 14. So that was really, really tough. And I would say I didn't hear or really feel I love you from my mother until I would say my 30s or 40s, maybe 40s. And I was always looking for that.
I stopped using the word trauma a lot because a lot of people would be like, I didn't have any trauma. And there's no doubt here. You had a lot of trauma, right? Your dad was absent and then he died. He took his own life, but you didn't know that. And it doesn't really matter as a kid. When you're 6 years old or 7 years old, when your dad just disappears, your little subconscious brain was thinking, well, he's not here. So therefore, something's wrong with me. I'm not good enough. Yeah. And then that was buried in your subconscious mind for all of these years. And while your trauma was big, it was called the big T trauma. You have little T and big T. That was definitely big, right? People listening who are wondering about their behavior and whether they're stuck or procrastinating or they can't sleep or they're drinking a bunch of wine at night or they eat too much and they're really overweight. None of this stuff is anyone's fault, right? You had an unfortunate circumstance in your childhood that you lived through that was really, really, really bad. And your brain did what it should have done, and it created a story for you to cope. Otherwise, you know, your little brain was like, why is this happening to me? Oh, it's happening to me because I'm bad. I'm not good enough. And then that's buried in your subconscious mind. And until you did the work the last couple months, like it was ruling your life, right?
Yeah. And I'll just kind of backtrack to that sleeping thing is that one of the big things that I noticed is that I was going to bed with those thoughts in my head. So of course I wasn't sleeping, right? It's like an individual who has work, right? They're working and they have all these problems and they're taking that work and all those problems to sleep. Of course they can't sleep, right? They're focused on, oh my God, I have to do this. I was in that situation with my job previously, but yeah, I was going to bed thinking, well, I'm not worthy. And so why am I even going to do the work? Right. But when you purge that and you're thinking, yeah, I am worthy. It's a lot easier to go to bed. It sounds so simple, but it definitely takes.
I mean, it changes everything, right? So trauma, what it does is it takes you out of the present. So up until a couple months ago, you were stuck as that seven-year-old child because your subconscious mind doesn't know the difference between yesterday and 40 years ago. It knows no time. So you're stuck in that as that six-year-old. All of the bad looping thoughts are from that six-year-old inside of you. So what we did in the hypnosis session is we separated you and then we brought that little boy into today. So you're no longer living in the past of these traumas, right? You now can recognize them, but you're aware of them and you say, no, you're no longer going to control me. thanks for doing your part. We did this exercise. Thanks for doing your part. You did your part, but I don't need you anymore because now I know I'm good enough. You've used the word purging a couple of times. That's where that purging comes from, because when you got out of that hypnosis session, you're like, wow, I feel like I'm enough. I feel like I'm good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think the big thing too is that you have to continue working at it, right? Because there's days that, you know, I wake up and feel that I'm not enough, but there's days where they're not as charged as the previous day, right? And so I don't just say, well, I'm just going to fall back into old habits and nah, I don't need to do this work. No, I have to continue doing it. But it becomes a habit, right? It becomes embedded in you. It's muscle memory. It's just, I got to hit this. I got to hit my meditation. I got to hit my hypnosis. I have to hit my journaling. And as you're doing it, you're further cementing that, right? You're further cementing those feelings of being enough or whatever your situation is. And it feels good too. I don't think like, I pick up my gratitude journal. I'm like, oh my God, I got to do this. I don't ever feel that way. I feel like, okay, what am I going to write today? What's really present for me today?
Let's talk about journaling because that's the topic of the conversation. We got into so many other good topics, but so as part of the program, the 5-week program, I have my clients do journaling from day one, right?
Yep.
And I know you really took this to another level. And I think it was a big part of your transformation. So you said that earlier where I instruct you to at least come up with 5 things you're grateful for in the morning, 5 things you're grateful for at night. In addition to that, at night, you want to write 3 good things that happened to you today. Tell us how that kind of helped in your transformation process.
Sure. Every day when I started off in the morning, again, at first it was a little bit of a struggle, right? But the more time that I had to think about those things, it really reframed my thinking as to certain things that I was grateful for. Things that I had done previously, like again, keep going back to the workout, but I might have thought like in the past, like, so what? I went to the gym, big deal. I always do that. But when I think about it, like, no, I'm grateful that I got my butt off the chair and went to the gym instead of sitting there on the couch and watching TV or something that I didn't want to do. And you would know this better than me, but there's something about writing it down as opposed to just even typing it or maybe just thinking about it. Like seeing it on paper and looking at it and writing it down, for me, it feels like a really like a deep connection with myself, right?
It's actually a mirror to your subconscious mind.
Yeah. So there you go. And that's exactly what it feels like, right? Is embedded in you deeper. And so every single day of writing something and then writing something different the next day, because that's actually true. It's not like I'm like, well, let me just think of something different. No, there's something else that comes up for me. Like I was writing out some of the stuff I was happy for yesterday. One of those things was my workout coach. I had a great talk with him yesterday. And I was just grateful that he had pointed out some things I was doing in my workout that I was progressing and some things that I need to change. So that little bit, it just further cement all these things that you're grateful for. I mean, you can even think about it on a simple level of like, if you're traveling somewhere, let's just say I'm flying out to Los Angeles. There's so many things you can be grateful for. Your plane was on time. The people who are working the ground crew showed up to work and got the plane off. The front counter showed up for work as well, right? There's like so many things that are there that are fantastic that you can be grateful for. There's that great quote, Albert Einstein, you could choose to see everything as a miracle or nothing as a miracle, right? And you can choose to see everything as a miracle. And it really is.
Are you seeing more good things happen in your life?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I think I got the unworthiness feelings out of there and more of the RAS, which is like focused on looking for good things. Whereas in the past, subconsciously, it wasn't. It was looking for all these things that I didn't have or these things that I wanted to have, but it didn't have.
And Michael, our brains are programmed that way, right? We got to look for the lion. And because you were still stuck in that past trauma, you were always scanning the savannah for that lion, right? When we made that separation and we took you into the present, that lion's no longer chasing you. So therefore, you can look around and see all the beauty, because when that lion's chasing you, all you're thinking about is how do I get away? And where's the other danger? Am I going to jump off a cliff or am I going to step on something sharp? So it really is just amazing.
Let me just add too, it's amazing that when you're in that mindset, you're in like this negative loop and you're reliving past things that happened. And it's almost as if like it happened every single day and you're multiplying that, right? well, this happened on this day. Like, that was kind of the mindset before. This happened so long ago. And so that means that I'm not worthy, right? And then you keep reliving that and you build more and more. But it's only one little event that actually happened. But because you keep looping on it in your thoughts, it's almost like you were rejected a million times, right? Or whatever the situation is.
So, Michael, if your best friend comes to you tomorrow and says, hey, man, I'm really struggling. I've got procrastination. I'm not sleeping well. I just don't always feel great. Got a lot of anxiety, whatever it is. What are you going to tell him or her to do? What advice would you give that person?
Might suggest your coaching for sure. I think the first thing is I would probably tell them to get into journaling. And I would tell them what works for me as far as journaling, but everybody is different. So I would tell them to kind of just, hey, maybe start out with five things that are grateful for. And if that's too much, start off with three. And if that's too much, just start off with one. Every single person can think of at least one thing that they're grateful for, right? And then really examine it. Is that the truth, right? Because I'm sure if it was a best friend of mine and he told me, well, I didn't think I'm worthy. Actually, I'm going to talk about a friend, but I won't use his name. We were out somewhere and we were talking to these girls. And after the interaction, he's like, it went okay, but I don't know. It really wasn't all that good. And I'm like, wow, you totally are downplaying what actually happened. I'm like, you went up to that girl who it happened to be her birthday. And she was fraternal twins with her brother. And she was with her mother and her aunts. And you basically just approached him and started talking to them. And they all loved you for it. The only reason that he was upset, from what I remember now, was that, like, well, nothing else happened. We didn't go out afterwards. I'm like, it's her birthday. She's with her fraternal twin that she's really close with. She's not going to break away to go out with you in this particular situation. The time that you spent with her was fantastic. So you're really missing those things. And I think we all have that blind spot. Sometimes you need that friend to kind of point it out, right? Like, hey, I see that you're thinking this way about that situation, but here's what I saw. Here's what's, could that be true? Is that true, Brad? Did that actually happen? And then the more you start thinking about it, the more you're like, oh yeah, I didn't see it that way. Okay.
Yeah. So this is a brain hack. We got to wrap up, but a couple of things before we do wrap up. When you grateful journal or when you journal period, if you say what you're grateful for, I'm grateful that I now love myself. I'm grateful that I now know that I'm enough. You only really say what you're grateful for things that have happened, right? So your brain's going to believe it's starting to happen. And if you're listening to this and you're like, huh, I feel worthy. I feel like I have self-love, because that would have been me 5 years ago if I heard this. If you want to know truly if you're unworthy and if you have self-love, just go to this 3-minute quiz. It'll probably take you less than 3 minutes. It's 12 questions at bradchandler.com/love. And it will give you exactly what your level of self-love is. And if you have a level of self-love of lack of or mild self-love, we can promise you, because Michael's testament to this as well, that every area of your life is being negatively affected. On the flip side, you should be extremely excited because your life can profoundly change like mine and Michael's have in such a short time. So go take the quiz at bradchandler.com/love. Michael, you've learned a lot and you've changed a lot since I met you over these 5 weeks. What's left to say? What hasn't been said do you think would be really important in terms of people finding this peace and happiness that you've been able to find?
Wow, that's a great question. So I would say one of the things that is just really helpful with the journaling is finding other people who are doing similar work. So for me, I have two buddies of mine who are doing the same sort of work. And we have our own little men's group where we hold one another accountable and we talk about our weeks and we're accountable to one another. And like I just mentioned before, sometimes when we're describing things, we don't see the gratefulness in those things, right? Or some of the things that we're accomplishing that are really fantastic. And if talking to one of my buddies and I'm listening to that and they're like, yeah, well, I saw this girl and I talked to her, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, they're not really happy. And I went on a date and it was okay. But I'm like, 2 months ago, you would have never done that, right? You were saying that, whatever, she's too pretty. I'm not good enough for her. And you just approach this amazing girl. So having other people that are like-minded, that are on that personal growth, I think is extremely important as well. Yes, of course, do your own work. It first starts with you. But I think having somebody accountable, whether it's a coach or whether it's a friend or maybe somebody else within your group. So people who are on your website, I'm sure they can reach out to other people on the website and say, hey, is anybody looking for an accountability partner? I think that's huge.
I love it. And they can find that. We started a group, an awesome group called How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs on Facebook. Sure. And you can find that at bradchandler.com/Facebook. It's a group of happypreneurs. So it's people on the same exact like path. If you want to go there, I'll approve you. I love that idea. I didn't even think about that. Ask for an accountability partner. Who wants to walk with me? Michael, in wrapping up, how do people reach you? If someone wants to reach out and ask you some questions about your experience as a child or anything, how do they reach you?
Best place to reach me would be on Facebook, Michael Soriano, Soriano. And what was the last little number there? It's 319, right? I don't even know what it was. You had it on there it for me.
Yep, it's coming across the screen now. It's 319. So Michael.Soriano, 319 at Facebook. Okay, well, guys, that wraps another edition of How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs. If you like the show, please share it. Please like it, whatever you need to do. And remember that you don't have to suffer. Life is this amazing, amazing journey. When you can figure out that false childhood programming and just reverse those like Michael did, life is a really beautiful thing. So until next time, love heals all. Thank you, Michael.
Take care, Brad. Take care, everybody. Enjoy.
Hit subscribe if you don't want to miss out on more life-changing content. And if you're struggling, you don't have to. Go to bradchandler.com/contact. There, you can join the Facebook community of like-minded entrepreneurs, and you'll see a button to schedule your freedom and happiness call. See you on the next episode.